on ABC Radio. You're with Rod Quinn, and it is time to catch up once again with Blair Hughes. He is Australia's leading fan engagement expert when it comes to the connection between sport and the fans. Blair, very good morning. Welcome back to the program.
Oh, fantastic to be able to have a chat before a couple of the seasons start. We're already underway with some AFLW and other codes, so it's great to have a chat about fans once again.
Exactly. So the cricket season is sort of coming to a conclusion, although it goes all year round. We've got the Ashes, we've got the World Cup coming up, and the Rugby Union, Rugby League, AFL seasons. There have been matches played in all of those sports. The football season sort of coming to a conclusion. One of the things about this cricket season was about winning back trust. How do you think Cricket Australia did with the fans in that regard?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, isn't it? I think there's been a lot of things that they've done, especially around the BBL, with, you know, getting kids and families back into games as well, even though that took a bit of a dip in terms of the crowds. But I think the focus this year, and especially I think their biggest product, is the women's game at the moment. The Southern Stars have gone from strength to strength, and the players in the Southern Stars team, like Elise Perry and Alyssa Healy, they're just superstars of the game at the moment, kind of thing, scoring and breaking records left, right and centre. So I think that the focus that they've put on the Southern Stars, especially with their, I think it was called the Watch Me campaign, was something that was really a positive this past cricket season. And obviously in the men's game, you know, it hasn't gone all to plan with the teams that they've played. But, you know, the fan engagement and the fan experience that Cricket Australia puts on is second to none in Australian sport, as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah, it's been a tough time, but obviously I think there's still a lot of trust to win back from fans.
One of the criticisms, though, was that the Big Bash went on way too long. Is that something you agree with?
Personally, I do agree. I think that the Big Bash, just from my perspective as a fan, I think it was probably a couple of weeks too long. And I think some of the recommendations that I sort of were talking to some other fans about were, I think there's room for some more regional teams. There's room for some more games in the bush as well. You know, the NRL had a lot of success last year taking some games out to the bush, and those communities, especially that are drought affected, and you know, those strong bush communities, they deserve to have some of these games and events out there. And I know they've taken a couple of games to Alice Springs and things like that, but I certainly think there could be some more of that as well. And also the free-to-air kind of thing. I mean, there's a lot of the test matches were on TV, but also a lot of fans didn't know some games were on, unfortunately. So the BBL definitely, I think, needs a bit of work and bringing it back a bit, and not forgetting sort of its core purpose of, you know, being entertaining cricket. And it certainly ended on a high, didn't it, with the finals. So in both games, the BBL and the WBBL.
Yes. Well, the semi-finals in the women's was incredible. The final in the men's was a remarkable collapse, but doesn't that tell you a lot that, in fact, it was the actual cricket that people were talking about, not all the hoopla and razzmatazz that goes on around the game?
That's right. And those women's games, as you talked about, if people out there, you know, you're listening and you haven't seen them, go back and watch the highlights, because that was almost those two games, some of the best cricket in any game this year, kind of thing. Men's or women's, they were the best games. But absolutely, the women's games and those finals and the cricket there was the talking point, and it has to be the talking point. I know I go on and on, and if you follow me on Twitter and you see me talk about fan engagement and things like that, but at the end of the day, the game in the centre of the pitch is the one thing that matters. And you know, it has to matter, because it's the reason that people are there in the first place.
Many people think, well, the BBL is put on for young fans, that is, you know, a way of getting kids in to watch cricket, and they drag their parents in as well. Have they missed the point about AFLX, that's kind of their version of the BBL?
I think with AFLX, and there's been a lot of journalists out there and a lot of fans as well, I think a lot that have sort of gone along with the negativity around AFLX, that it is for the families, it is for the fans, because if you look at the AFL, their demographic is very much you know, men in their 30s, and they need, and 30s and 40s, and an older generation, they need to do whatever they can to get the next generation of paying members in, and that it, that means kids coming in with their families and getting them in for from such a young age. I mean, if you think about it, there's nothing else really that we have in the world that you can be that loyal to for your whole life, from the age of 5 years old or something like that when you go to your first game. So there's a big focus on the families and those young fans, getting them in early. And I, for one, think I went to the AFLX last Friday night. I went last year as well. And I think they did an exceptional job on the fan engagement. And it was really missed by a lot of the commentators out there and a lot of fans that, you know, this wasn't for the older demographic. This is for a new demographic of young people, getting them involved. And some I saw for the first time as well, their first AFL game, their first Aussie Rules, introduction to Aussie Rules. And they were having a blast. And I really think some of that was missed as well on the night in the commentary.
It's about getting new fans in. That's why the AFLW, even the women's NRL yes. competition, the women's Super Rugby competition, the women's cricket has yep. been so successful, because there was a huge untapped market there and they've yep. brought them in. Is there a concern, do you think, that in fact these were previously seen as men's sports and now women are being encouraged to play that, possibly to the detriment of traditional women's sport like netball?
Well, look, I, for one, am a massive fan of women's sport, and I think, if anything, one of the biggest challenges now is the competition that is on amongst all these codes, and not just the men's codes, but now you've got the women's codes as well. So everyone's fighting for the family budget and for the fans, you know, ticketing money, basically, to go along to a game. I definitely think that, you know, you've got all these games that are out there and everything like that, and you've got more fans that want to be able to go around and see these games. I just, for one, think it's fantastic that we've got all these professional women's sports now, and fans are, you know, they're basically saying, we want this as well. So they're going along, and yes, AFLW is free, and yes, the WBBL games were cheaper than the men's games, but they're still getting thousands of people out there. There were more people at the AFLW game on Saturday night that I went to at Witten Oval here in Melbourne, than there were at the Sydney FC game. And yes, one was free and one was not, but there's still 7,000 people there that weren't at other sports, basically. So okay. it's just interesting that, you know, we've got this rise of women's sport, and it seems to be going incredibly well.
So who won the battle for the dollar over the summer sport?
I think the biggest winners, actually, over this summer sport were the women's teams, the Southern Stars, the Matildas. Even though there's a lot of, you know, issues that were going on in the back of the room of the Matildas and whatnot. But I really do think the WBBL was a massive success. The AFLW that's come in, and yes, it kind of has gone over this JLT Cup that they're doing and the AFLX and all that. But I really think, the more I think about it, that the women's sport has been the biggest winner this summer. And it's only going to continue to rise, I think.
Or does it reach a point where we have reached peak demand for women's sport? I hope not, but, you know, can it only keep growing?
I think it can, and some of the stats during the week about female participation was interesting to see in both AFL and in football, soccer in Australia as well, and it showed that female participation continues to rise. So, look, anything that gets kids out there and playing and gets them involved in sport is a great thing for Aussie kids. And it's obviously a good thing for stadiums and for all these other stakeholders and whatnot as well. But certainly, you're right, there is a lot of competition now over summer. And I think someone posted on, you know, Twitter or Facebook or something, they showed the TV guide of everything that was on, and it was just a smorgasbord of sport. So, yeah, very interesting times, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens next summer with BBL as well, and whether they sort of cut that down or add
whether they listen to the fans.
That's right. It has to be about listening to the fans. And who knows, we might get a Christmas game this year
Christmas
as well.
Christmas Day,
Christmas Day game, yeah, exactly.
That would be a disaster as far as I'm concerned. Blair Hughes is our guest as we talk fan involvement and fan engagement. So one of the interesting things, though, also, there's two parts to this, and one is the way that craft beer has now really become involved at grounds and with various teams, but also that one you'd have to say minor sport in Australia that wants to improve has said they don't want any alcohol sponsorship, and that's baseball.
Absolutely, yeah. This is some news that's come out, and it's very interesting because, you know, I can understand where they're coming from. I do think that Australia has a bit of a problem with its relationship with alcohol. However, from what I've seen and the teams and venues that I've helped with craft beer sort of partnerships and things like that, the craft brewers are getting involved from this local perspective. They want to be able to work with the teams, and the teams want to be able to show that they're doing localised food and beverage options for fans, because at the end of the day, it all comes back to this fan-first approach. So you've got teams that have gone and done craft beer partnerships, and some of them aren't even sort of at the stadiums because of the pourage rights that are in these stadiums, but they're doing them for club events and things like that. And it's a way that fans can have their local beer at their local game and be able to, you know, get behind the local business. So it's very interesting how Baseball Australia has sort of come out and backed this group that have come out and announced this no alcohol for sport and everything like that. But I think they've maybe missed the point on what some of the craft brewers are doing and how that's a bit more fan-focused than sort of shoving alcohol down kids' throats when they're watching TV kind of thing.
Now, something else that we need to warn people about, if they don't know already, is buying tickets. Now, it used to be simple. You rolled up at the game, you lined up, probably in a long queue, and you bought your ticket and you went and sat anywhere you liked. Then, of course, with reserve seating, it meant that you bought it beforehand, and now you buy it online, and if you can't get the ones that you want online, you go to an alternative site, and that's not a good thing to do.
No, exactly, and it's causing a lot of problems for fans out there as well. I know of a couple of situations where fans are, you know, you almost can't blame them. They miss out on tickets because tickets go on sale and then they're gone within 60 seconds. And then they go to try to find another way to get them. And some of them these ticketing companies have worked out having reseller sites that they actually take a clip from again. So the ticket's being sold a couple of times. But then there's other sites that aren't even affiliated with the event or the stadium or the team or the band or whatever. And they're basically saying that, you know, there's only one ticket left, when in fact there's hundreds of tickets left or thousands of tickets left. And these heavily inflated prices that fans think that they have to basically pay because that's what everyone else paid for a ticket. And it's just not true. So you've got some of these companies, these ticketing companies that are a bit unscrupulous and a bit dodgy, and they've been taken to court in the UK, Australia, New Zealand to basically try to get them closed down. But unfortunately, they're still up, and I know from a lot of my mates who work in ticketing at stadiums and for teams, they're really concerned about the message that this is kind of sending to the fans. And a lot of fans don't realise that when they go to buy these tickets off these sites, they type in the event name for who they want to go to into Google, and the first event listing that comes up is from this ticketing site.
Yep.
And so they click on it and think that it's the official ticketing site, and it has nothing to do with it. So there's a lot of issues and a concern around that amongst teams and venues at the moment as well.
So how do you avoid that?
Well, the first thing you do is you don't buy a scalping ticket. And I know it's easier said than done because you, as a fan, you want to be able to go to a game, but you know you can't be buying a scalping ticket. You don't know if it's actually genuine, and a lot of the times, you know, people have been scammed, and I think the government and the messages that you hear from teams and venues and government agencies, they often talk about, you know, don't buy from these dodgy sites and from these ticketing companies that are selling tickets that aren't even affiliated with the event.
Yes.
So, you know, I think the messaging is out there, but then I do feel sorry for... I saw an instance recently where an older couple, you know, had no idea where they were buying their tickets from. They bought them from this site. They paid a fortune, about $100, for a trial NRL match.
Ridiculous.
And it turned out, you know, the tickets were only $10, and the game was nowhere going to be sold out. It was played at a rural stadium, and this website is selling them for about $100. So, you know, I feel sorry because I can almost feel that it could be my parents or grandparents. Yes. Or one of my mates, and I don't want them getting scammed like that. So very, very dodgy, and it's certainly an issue in the sports business at the moment.
So don't buy from Viagogo. Buy either from the official website of the sports involved or find out who their ticketing partners are. The problem with so many of these, of course, is you need to be a member of the ticketing company. You need to have a password, provide all this information before you can buy it. That's so they can then keep sending you emails about what they've got coming up when you just want to buy a ticket. And they ought to make it easier for you to buy a ticket to these events.
Look, I couldn't agree with you more there. You know I work in this space, but first and foremost, I'm a fan, like the people out there listening right now who are sports fans or music fans or buy tickets from these sites. And I really have questioned over the years why the technology on some of these sites that we have in Australia, these ticketing sites, has not improved with the times. Why is it still so difficult to be able to get on and get a ticket? Why is it so frustrating that what is one of the first parts of the fan journey, why is it such a negative experience a lot of the time? And look, I couldn't agree more with what you're saying, and I hear it day in, day out from fans as well. Every time there's a major event that comes on in Australia, it's the same old story. And really, I can't believe that we still have these issues with the ticketing companies.
Not just with sporting events, of course, but concerts and other events as well. Blair, absolutely. Thank you very much. We will talk to you again, I'm sure, throughout the seasons. And thanks very much.
Have a good time. Cheers.
Blair Hughes, Australia's leading fan engagement expert. It's now 5 minutes to the latest ABC News.